Given his political activism, George Clooney often has been asked if he wants to run for office. So far, he's declined. But he plays a Democratic governor running for president in his new film, The Ides of March, which he also co-wrote and directed. However, it's a supporting part. The film's real star is Ryan Gosling as Clooney's press secretary. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Before it becomes tiresomely cynical, George Clooney's political drama, The Ides of March, plays like gangbusters. The banter is fast, the cast in clover. Actors love to play hyper-articulate characters, people who actually know what they're talking about. And there are lots of good lines about how things work behind the scenes in a political campaign. Ryan Gosling is Stephen Myers, the youngish but already seasoned press secretary for Governor Mike Morris, played by Clooney, who's in a tight race for the Democratic presidential nomination. Gosling could be styling himself on Clooney here. He's a supreme flirt, alarmingly magnetic. And if he doesn't have Clooney's easy swagger, he's working on it. In the same way, Stephen is styling himself after the governor, whom he reveres, for good reason. Morris is a dream progressive, professing that his religion is the United States Constitution, speaking eloquently against the death penalty and for a woman's right to choose. A jaded reporter, played by Marissa Tomei, warns Stephen that all politicians will break your heart. But Stephen charmingly shakes her off. Not this guy. Clooney and Grant Heslov, who together co-wrote Good Night and Good Luck, based The Ides of March on a play called Farragut North by Bo Willimon, who worked on Howard Dean's 2004 presidential campaign. That title tells you a lot. Farragut North is the stop on the Washington Metro line for K Street, where ex-campaign operatives go to become high-paid lobbyists and consultants, where ideals go to die. The movie is set several days before the Ohio presidential primary, a virtual dead heat, and Clooney and Heslov have raised the ante by making the candidate, offstage in the play, a character, and by adding a tragic twist. The play keeps the issues abstract in the vein of David Mamet, but on screen, Stephen counsels Governor Morris on specific policies.
It says we're going to help people get an education, we're going to create national unity, we're going to teach young people a trade, and we're going to get them out of debt for their college loans. Now, where does that fail?
All of that's exactly right, Governor. It's just, if you're going to do it, do it. Make it mandatory, not voluntary.
That'll poll well.
Mandatory. Everybody who turns 18 or graduates high school gives 2 years of service to his or her country. And for that, your college education is paid for, period.
Paul likes this.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is that everybody who's over the age of 18 or past the age of eligibility will be for it. Why not?
And all of the others
can't vote. Too young.
That's a weird scene for a couple of reasons. The first is, do you know anyone who thinks mandatory service would fly in this anti-government climate with either party? The second is that the idea never comes up again, so we don't know how it flies. At the center of the Ides of March is a tug-of-war for Stephen's loyalties between the governor's campaign manager, Paul Zara, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, a driving paranoiac, and rival campaign manager Tom Duffy, played by Paul Giamatti, an unctuous cynic with dirtier tactics who tries to hire the young man away. It's fun to watch Hoffman and Giamatti, two brilliant, somewhat portly A-list character actors in their mid-40s, incinerate each other with stares and compete for the loyalty of the male ingenue. It's even more fun to watch a blonde intern, Molly, played by Evan Rachel Wood, undress Stephen with her eyes while talking politics. When the movie focuses on the seduction of politics and the politics of seduction, it makes braininess sexy. But the Ides of March is dimmed by its larger agenda, to demonstrate the futility of ideals in American politics. When Stephen decides to throw away those ideals and become as bad or worse than others, Gosling turns his face into a blank mask. I'd like to think he was resisting his final scenes, knowing on some level how phony they were and refusing to sell them. But it might just be he doesn't have anything to play. the climax is less tragic than irritating. Given the nihilistic political machinations of the last several years, it's tempting to praise the Ides of March as a realistic depiction of how low we've sunk. But that would mean accepting the third-rate melodrama and incredibly shrinking characters. It would mean buying into a reductive universe in which all compromise equals corruption. Politics at present might well be the pits, but the glibness of this movie is almost as disillusioning.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Sue Spolin directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.